Happy Sunday.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim DeJunis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible and from a devotional, daily devotional, called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. Let's begin with prayer. Lord of creation, Father of all, we come down before you on bended knee and ask for your favor. We ask you and thank you for all the blessings of our lives, the blessings of loved ones, the blessings of us being taken care of and taken care for. Father, we thank you so very much for your Son Jesus and for the faith you've instilled in our hearts, for the grace that you've given us through him. And we thank you so very much for understanding and wisdom and grace and peace. And we seek your peace, Father. We seek your peace through your Son and through your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and our spiritual eyes to you and to your many promises. And Father, we just are so in awe by your glory and your creative being and the world you've put in front of us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. October 11th. Fall is in the air. The colors are about to change. And what a beautiful world God has created for us. And Sarah Young writes, I am the culmination of all your hopes and desires. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, who is and was and is to come. Before you knew me, you expressed your longing for me in hurtful ways. You were ever so vulnerable to the evil around you in the world. But now my presence safely shields you, enfolding you in my loving arms. I have lifted you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, my marvelous light. Though I have brought many pleasures into your life, not one of them is essential. Receive my blessings with open hands. Enjoy my good gifts, but do not cling to them. Turn your attention to the giver of all things and rest in the knowledge that you are complete in me. The one thing you absolutely need is the one thing you can never lose, my presence with you. Sarah has a couple verses of scripture to support this. First is Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. As I'm sure I have said on many times, I love the book of James. Well, thank you, Sarah, and thank you, listeners, for enduring me. I'm not the easiest person in the world to listen to. My children and wife will agree with that. But I thank you for listening to our program on a weekly basis, and hopefully there's some words of encouragement and words of wisdom that are passed along in God's holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. We still continue with Isaiah, and is his challenge for Judah and his challenge for Israel. And we start with chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Who, again, are we speaking of? We're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. like one whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Boy, I'm not sure if there's any more beautiful words than that. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, from the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned to grave and with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of the life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I believe that was 600 years before Christ was born. Here is Isaiah again for the 10th, 20th time prophesizing about Christ. Chapter 54. Entitled The Future Glory of Zion. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate women than of her who has a husband. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back, as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says the Lord. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. I am sure to anger. Excuse me, in a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with the everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore with the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be the children's peace. In the righteousness you will be established, Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Chapter 55, entitled Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not. And nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because the Lord of God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We hear these two verses many times. I think you've heard them many times. I don't want to repeat them. And there are many times in studying the Bible, in becoming a more mature Christian, there's certain things we just do not understand, and never will understand. And a lot of times that happens with when someone that we love dies or you know, gets sick or has pain or something bad has happened, or maybe you know disagreement on how do you interpret something in the Bible. But I think these are some great verses to have in your heart. To pull out when necessary. And again, this is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Chapter 56, entitled Salvation for Others. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds fast to it, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing an evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let me repeat that. This is verse 3. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and not let any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, to hold and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And for foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, and all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house it will be called the house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those who are already gathered. Again, here's a prophecy of call, you know, gathering, you know, the Gentiles, the non-Israelites. Verse 9, come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. Watchmen here would be defined as priests and leaders at the time. I'll start with verse 9 again. Come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us drink ourselves filled with beer. And tomorrow will be like today, or even better. Chapter 57. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands. That the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you sons of sorcerers, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. They are your lot. Yes, to them you have poured out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In the light of these things, shall I relent? Have you made your bed on a high and lofty hill? There you went up to offer your sacrifices. Behind your doors and your doorposts you have put pagan symbols. Forsaking me, you uncovered your bed. You climbed in it and opened wide. You made a pact with those who beds you love, and you looked on their nakedness. When you went to Molech with olive oil and increased your perfumes, you sent your ambassadors far away. You descended to the grave itself. You were wearied by all your ways, but you would not say it is hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you have been false to me and have never remembered me, nor pondered this in your hearts? It is not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me. I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. I hope you understood that. So here God's talking to someone or a group of people that put other things ahead of him, right? And that my greatest sorrow right now, expressed this at Bible study last week, was... there's so many times you go about your day and you maybe say peace or God bless you or bless you or some recognition that there's God. And sometimes people just look at you like they don't know why are you saying that? Why they don't even think about God. He's not even a thought in their mind on a daily basis, let alone throughout the day. And that is really sad. And here God's talking to these people, and they need to come to him. And we, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, need to make that invitation. We need to live that way, act that way, and allow the Holy Spirit to talk through us and to take action when he thinks it's right. Don't fight that temptation. Don't fight that instruction from the Holy Spirit to take action. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people, for this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will never accuse forever, nor will I always be angry. For then the spirit of man would grow faint before me, the breath of man that I have created. I was enraged by his sinful greed. I punished him and hid my face in anger. Yet he kept on in his willful ways. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners of Israel. Peace, peace to those who far and near, says of the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast upon mire and mud. There is no place, my God, for the wicked. Chapter 58. True fasting. Shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does not do, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of the injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide your poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Really interesting read here, talking about fasting, and you know, there are people that fast. I personally don't, and that's not a right thing or a wrong thing, it's just I don't. But you hear God saying, hey, you can say you're fasting, but what are your actions, right? If you're just abstaining, what are you still doing during the day? Are you still quarreling? Are you still ignoring your brother in need? If that's the case, then don't fast. Verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, Here am I. So again, the preceding verses here is saying, hey, I'll reread it, chapter verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of the injustice and tie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, clothe them, and do not turn away from your own flesh and blood. If we're doing those things, if we're putting other people first, right? We put the Lord first and then others. If we're doing that, then the Lord sees that. The Lord is pleased by that. The Lord rejoices in that. And that's when we are heard, and that's when we're acknowledged. Verse 9b, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like that of the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing what pleases on my from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to stop there, which gets us through chapter 58. Instead of trying to read quickly through a very long chapter, we'll pick that up next week, chapter 59. But I would like to spend the next moment or two, maybe a quick prayer and an encouragement. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these readings. We thank you for these words of encouragement, these words of knowledge and wisdom. We thank you for leading us towards your Holy Son. We thank you so very much for him and his selflessness, his obedience to the point of death, death on a cross, death to save us and to be us on that cross. We are so appreciative of your love and for your plan and for your holiness. And we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that lives within us now as believers in Christ. And we ask that that Holy Spirit works within us throughout the day, every moment of every day, to bring you glory, honor, and praise, and to bring peace, and to love others, and to live your words, not just to hear your words, as James articulates in chapter 1. Father, we are so abundantly blessed, and we are so appreciative of all that you do and how you do it and why you do it. So we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next weekend. We hope you enjoyed the program. I'm Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for those who are blind and print impaired. Our program is available. Reflections is available on a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.